Pray and get started. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the finished work, Father. Father, you thank you that you open our eyes that we see, our ears that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. Give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I guess we're going to finish up the law, the covenants and the notes on those. I got a surprise on the way to here tonight. They say this is my last class tonight for this class. I got a surprise. They said this is the last class. So I was planning on at least two more weeks of class. I see excited, how excited y'all are. But at any rate, if I noticed this was a different class, I would have prepared a little bit different because I like to do a little review of some of the things that we covered over the semester. But I think y'all are going to end up doing the review in itself. I like my basic scriptures. And as the Holy Ghost lead me, I go back and look at some of them. I do it that way rather than looking at the covenant. We've covered quite a bit of the covenant. But I like to review a little bit and go back to some of the things that we covered over the two semesters beginning. Because the apostolic is very important. The apostolic government is very important. It's one of the things that you have to understand is that this ministry is an apostolic ministry. We are under apostolic government. And when the apostolic government is set up correctly, you will see signs and you will see wonders and you will see miracles. And the thing is that we who are in the body of Christ, we must realize that we have to mature. Anything's God. If we never mature, then we, as the word of God says that in the Galatians, that we are no different than a servant. Even though we be Lord of all, we are no different than a servant. So one of the things that we've been trying to do is impart to you these things that would make you grow up in the things of God. And come to maturity so you can begin to see the signs and wonders. The basic things is that, you know, if you turn back to Isaiah chapter 9, like I said, I just go through and do some reviewing, and which will be easier rather than try to cover some more information, because the exam probably will be on the first two exams that we covered this semester, and then probably the quizzes. So you should have no problem. I put the syllabus up. But turn, as you say, as we started this lesson, one of the things that we said, we were talking about apostolic government. And the thing that you want to make sure is that if you have been assigned to a ministry that's operating under the apostolic, you want to make sure that you connect to that government, connect, because whatever's on that apostle's life, minister's life, should be operating in your life the exact same way. And God gave us that example over in Numbers 11. And so if you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you that revelation of when you are under that ministry, God himself is the one who imparts the spirit of that apostle upon you that you can operate the same way that apostle did. We showed it to you in the book of Acts with Philip. He had that same apostolic anointing on him that the apostles had on them. We saw it in Stephen's, all those table waiters that we talked about during that time we were studying the apostles, that they had that same apostolic anointing up on them. You who are part of the ministry, these various ministers that's under the LTMA, they are operating under the apostolic government. So because you're under that, once you connect properly, then you have that same anointing upon your life. You have to know that. You have to believe that, and you have to receive it. And then you act accordingly. And so, you know, you say, well, I'm part of the apostolic. So when you're in the apostolic, one of the things that you have to understand is that the portals of heaven is open unto you, and that supernatural power is flowing from heaven through that apostle, and it's flowing down to you. And so let me look at this government in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For you, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace." Peace, we said, is where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. It says, "There shall be no end." So it has not come to end. So since the time the apostle, the prophet spoke it, it's still going on, even to this day. "Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So one of the things that we have to know, that God himself decided this is what he wanted, and he's the one who's going to perform and make sure the government is in place. We went on and we talked about the cult in the culture of honor. I'll go back and look at part of the some of the notes that we gave you. And one of the things that we say is that the principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging who people are will position us, the church, to give them what they deserve and receive the gift of who they are in our lives. That was the principle that I wanted you to understand in this class, that as we acknowledge them who they are, like I say, we have an apostle here at Word of Life Christian Center, and that gives us a chance to receive our apostle as an apostle. And Matthew 10:41 gives us that principle over there, and it states that he that receive an apostle, he says prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And what we went on and made the connection here, we say he that receive an apostle in the name of an apostle shall receive an apostle's reward. Yeah, and how do we connect through this apostolic anointing? Once we came into the kingdom and we made that confession, we came in by faith. In Romans 10:8-9, we came in. And then it says in Ephesians 2:19-20, that was part of our instructions. It says that we are no more foreigners and strangers, but we are fellow citizens of the household of God, and is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so, like I say, these are just basic scriptures that you can go back and you can study and not just study them, but put them in your spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you have gained by knowing this information. There are so many people don't know this information, but God has put you in a position that you yourself can now have knowledge in this, and you can now operate in this apostolic government. I gave you three terms that you should understand under this apostolic government. You should think about one of them was an apostle. The other one was apostleship. The other one is apostolic. The apostle is the man himself who God places in that position, the apostle. Apostleship is the office that the apostle holds. Apostolic is the government, a form of government that we are under. We are operating under an apostolic government. And so those are the things that we want you to understand. We also cover some other scriptures concerning the apostolic in Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 11. And we'll see where it came. It says, "And he gave some." This is talking about Jesus. And we call these the fivefold ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry graces. And he said, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers And then he gave it to us for why he gave them to us. He put these graces in these fivefold ministry gifts that they can impart them to the body of Christ. Not that they can use for personal gain or for their personal use, but for that they can impart these graces. He put enough in them that they can impart these graces to the body of Christ, that there is an impartation. Every time an apostle or a man of God gets in front of you, it should be imparting something to you, imparting these gifts to you that you can operate in. He goes on to say in verse 12, he says, for the perfecting of the saints. That means that he's maturing the saints. You come to a place of maturity for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our destination. Now, when we come into the kingdom, we should be headed in that direction, that somewhere along the line, we should come to that point, that the same thing that Jesus did when he was here, since he's the foundation, and that's what we're being built up on. We should come to the point that we should come to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ Jesus, one who came, and what 1 John 3:8 tells us, that he was manifested in the earth that he might destroy the works of the devil. We have to understand that. We have to know that. That's what we should be doing everywhere we go. And the enemy crops up. We should be under our feet in what we're doing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked about 12 and 28. We turn over there and look at that scripture and see what the Word of God says here. First Corinthians chapter 12 and beginning at verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set, we have to know that God is the one who sets it in the body, just like he do the natural body. He sets the body, he sets the members in the body as he sees fit. It goes on to say, and God has set some in the church. He says, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings. He says, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And so he's saying that when God sets the government up, he calls individuals into this government. He calls an apostle and put him in his place. And once he puts that apostle in his place, then he called individuals into that same vision. He puts those individuals under that apostle. And so that God himself can carry out the vision that he needs. He can give, the apostle is always looking to heaven, finding out what it is that heaven wants here on earth. And when he finds out what heaven wants here on earth, he brings that and imparts that to the members that's under him, so they can carry out that which God has given him to carry out. It's not so much about our individual goals. It's all about what God wants himself, our little things. Many of us, once we get in and we learn a lot of scriptures, we learn a lot of word. You come to Word Life Christian Center, you're going to learn some word. It doesn't mean that you're going to go out and have to preach the word. It means that you're connecting to a government that God has in the earth realm. And so whether you, one of the things that I tell people, whether you, God has called you here and you're working in any form of the helps ministry, whether you're in working as an altar worker, whether you're working on the TV cameras, whether you're working as a greeter, whether you're working in the parking lot, parking cars, whether you are in security, whatever God has called you here to do at the ministry, your particular ministry, that anointing is on your life to carry out the power's there, the anointing is there, that you can carry out what God has called you to do. And so what you do, again, you connect to that ministry. And yes, whatever the apostle is telling you to do, you carry that out. And if you see him as coming from God, if you see that man of God coming at, you know, the word, what he's coming out of his mouth as coming from God, then whenever you come to the sanctuary, whatever he comes out of his mouth is your word for your particular situation. You can always have your word in his mouth. And if you follow the word, what comes out of his mouth, and be obedient to what he tell you to do, then guess what? That becomes your supernatural manifestation in which God has sent to you. We miss God in that we're always looking for the spectacular, but God says, you know, it's the small things. Like the Monday night I came in and I was telling you about God told the apostle, and you know, he's been teaching on health, he's been teaching on the soul. And so one of the things that you can see is if God tell you to do something, then sometimes you cannot see it. If he's telling you to work on your soul, you cannot necessarily see that. But if he tell you to work on your body and he tell you, you know, do certain things, that part God can see immediately. If he say, for instance, the Sunday he came in, the apostle came in, he told everybody, he said, I need y'all to go out and buy a juicer. And when he said that, that word came out of the apostle's mouth. It came out from God. And God already knew what position you was in. God knew what you was in. So if he said it, then he had made arrangements for you to go out and do what he told you to do. That's all. You have to always remember that. Whatever comes out of God's mouth. And so first thing we do, we look at our position and where we are at that time. And it's not what we want, it's what God himself wants. When he tells us to do something, our plan thing is just to be obedient. God, like I said, God already know what our positions are. Just like he knew what Abraham's position was. When he told Abraham, he said, I need you to get up and get out and go from your kinfolks, your relatives, and go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham just got up and he just started walking. He had no idea what he walked. He ran into obstacles, but that did not stop him from going what God told. The same way with us. We are in a supernatural kingdom. We have to understand that. And that we have an enemy. He's going to try to block us from getting to what God wants. But our place is to continue to press forward. The Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So we have to get to a point. The Word of God in the gospel tell us that, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, but the violence have to take it by force. So there's going to always be a force against us, but we have to continue to press on toward that which God is telling us to do. And so, again, If we turn back to 1 Corinthians 2, I cover some areas over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul, he's the one who did most of the ministering in this particular class, because that's the one I did the most studying under. We have our own apostle who also studied under the Apostle Paul. And so some of the things that he revealed to us in this, during this lesson about the apostle, and one of the things, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 2, and I just read some of that, and I read down through until the Holy Spirit tells me to stop. He said, for I determined not to know anything, that's the Apostle Paul, among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He said, his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That was the reason for that. He says that so that your faith cannot stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We have to always understand that it's in God's power that whatever happened, whatever God tells us to do, is in his power that the things are being manifested in our lives. Again, I'll go back to Father Abraham, and one of the things that he did, he believed God. And he come to the point in Romans 4:21, he got to that point that he came so fully persuaded that what God had promised, that God was able to perform. He believed that. He believed in you. So we who are in the kingdom, we are believers. We came in the kingdom by being believers. And so we have to begin to believe for signs and believe for miracles and believe for wonders and know that God himself is not going to lie to us. Like he told us in Numbers 23:19, he said, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. Not a son of man that he hath to repent. So if God said it, then we have to know that God himself is able to bring that thing to pass. He goes on to say, he say, how be it? And we, our apostles now are ministering on wisdom. And he's saying the wisdom that he's talking about is not man's wisdom, because man always think he has more wisdom than God. But he's far, 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 far off in this aspect. He said, how be it, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, not the princes of this world that come to naught, or come to nothing. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So like I say, these are basic scriptures. And so you get a knowledge of these scriptures. In Mark, Jesus himself told us who are in the kingdom. Say it's for us who are in the kingdom that know the mysteries of the kingdom. And so if it's for us to know the mysteries, then how do we find out the mysteries? We go in and we dig into the word of God until he revealed to us these things. If we don't know, if we read a scripture, one of the things that Apostle Paul tells us that we have to pray. We have to ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians 1:17, we go in and we ask for it. And when we ask for it, guess what? He's going to give it to us. Whenever we ask for something, the Holy Spirit of God himself is going to give it to us. We ask for that he might enlighten us. And so he goes on to say, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God shall prepare for them that love them. So in the natural, we cannot receive those things. He said, I can't see it, our ears can't hear it. Even it cannot enter into our hearts in the natural. But in verse 10, it said, but God himself hath revealed. So if we're going to get something from the kingdom, it has to be revealed to us by the Spirit of God. If it's not revealed to us, then we're just receiving it in the natural, and then we're going to act naturally, and then it's the things that we're seeking God for is not going to manifest in our lives because we're still in the natural. That's one of the things that I always think about myself when I first came into the kingdom. And my thing was always expecting, you know, I had been in school years and years from the time I got out of high school to the time I got out of my final college schooling was about approximately 12 years. So. And so we, you know, my siblings would always look at me and they ask me, when was I going to finish school? I said I was going to be a permanent student. I was going to be in school forever. So it came out of my mouth. So I'm in school. I'm still in school. So I'm still training. When I came in, I would read the Bible and I would expect to, you know, understand what the Word of God was saying, but I could not understand it in the natural, because when God is speaking to us, it has to be revealed to our spirits and not our natural mind. It goes on to say, but as it is written, I have nine, verse 9, and then verse 10 say, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, it says in verse 12, it says, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we can go back there and we can tie that scripture right here into Romans 12 and 2, where he tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good. So when you know it, it's been revealed to your spirit. Because guess what's happening? Your mind, your spirit already know it, but your mind is being renewed to that, the word of God. And now the spirit and the soul is connected. And so now you can begin to get those supernatural manifestations in your life. He says that you might know the things that are freely given to your God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And he said, but the natural man, that's where I was always. I was in that natural man. He said, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So as again, we cannot receive them. Many of us who are in the body of Christ, and we go through these processes. And when we go through these processes, we think that we can receive because we know some scripture, but it has not been revealed. We just know the scripture. We know the letter without the spirit being involved in it. Once the spirit is involved in it, and then it becomes life to us and become truth to us. If you get a scripture like Isaiah 53 and 4, where he said he was wounded for my transgressions, he was bruised for my iniquities, in the natural, that does not say anything. He said, he was wounded for my transgression. He said, and by his stripes we are healed. And so now, again, in the natural, doesn't do anything for you. But once it becomes revealed to you, the enemy cannot throw sickness or disease your way, because now I have the truth on that situation, because the Spirit of God has revealed it to my spirit. I know it in my spirit that what Jesus did on the cross have taken care of all sickness and all disease in my life. And then, the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit, again, he'll help you when the enemy try to throw sickness in your face. And he'll tell you things like, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And you know that sickness and disease is the voice of a stranger. And you know that Jesus have already taken care of those situations. So since you know that, then like I say, it's been revealed to your spirit, and the Holy Spirit gonna help you in any situation. If you understand and you've been putting the word of God in you, then he gonna bring those things to your remembrance. He tells us, he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He's in us to help bring what the Word of God has told us and revealed to us. And again, verse 14, he said, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so, again, we got over in Romans, we talked about in this culture of honor that we are unpunishable, and we say we act the way we do because we didn't understand the two covenants. In Romans 8:1-2, it said, therefore there is no condemnation. You can turn over there, look at that scripture. And like I said, these are just basic scriptures that you have to understand and need to know. There are many others, but these are some of the ones that we cover, and they pop up. I'll reveal them to you. I'll go back and rehearse them in my spirit. So Romans chapter 8, looking at verse 1, and we read verse 1 through 3. And verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's basically what this class was ministering to us, that we should, not condemn our brothers because they fall from this area and try to go back and follow the law in doing punishment to them. Like Jesus did not condemn the lady who was caught in a very act of sin, then we should not condemn the same way. We should help them in the spirit of love, restore them to their position. It says that verse 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So if I've been made free from the law of sin, then that means that I should not be concerned about that part, because I'm now made free. It said, for what the law, this is part of the covenant, part of the two covenants that we've been covenant. It said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sin for flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, the righteousness that the law was trying to fulfill, he could not do it, but it was trying to fulfill, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we are spiritual beings. We walk after the Spirit. We gave you last week, we gave you those fruits of the Spirit over in Galatians 5 and 22, which you should have been meditating on and make them part of your life. These scriptures that the Holy Ghost brought up during the classes, they was not just, you know, they came up as I was ministering. And so you would go back and you begin to meditate them, and they become part of your life. Every one of these scriptures came, you know, from out of the spirit realm. So they became part of yours. Your life. And so, and one of the things that the Spirit of God was tell us in the Word of God, and he said, this book of the law in Joshua 1 and 8, and he said, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, out of your eyes. He said, but you should meditate in them day and night, and then you make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. All these are, again, things that to walk in this kingdom, in our dominion here on the earth. God wanted us to have dominion here in the earth realm. And unless we mature in these things that God has been ministering to us, then the enemy can always have the upper hand. And if he's having the upper hand, that means that you are under his feet when he should be under your feet. You shall always keep him under your feet. And you do this by taking the Word of God and using it. You take those that sword of the Spirit, and you keep him in his place. He's already a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him on the cross, at the cross, so he's defeated. He won the victory for us. We're already victorious in every phase of our lives. In every phase of our lives, we already have victory because of what Jesus has done. And so you have to know that. And so, again, turn over to Mark. And so sometimes we try to rush God and what he trying to do for us. But God has given us, he in his word, he tells us what happens. He gives us scriptures, how he do what he do. Here in Mark chapter 4, again, just some basic scriptures as the Holy Spirit began to reveal some things to us. And we have to have these supernatural ears. We have to have these supernatural eyes. And when God, Jesus is trying to reveal to us, again, he's not revealing it to our natural mind, but he's revealing to our spirit. In Mark chapter 4, he began to talk about the parable of the sower. And he tells in four instances, what happened when the word of God is given to you. In many instances, he tells exactly what happens, but this is what he said. In verse 9, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In verse 11, he said, unto you, there he is again. This is Jesus speaking, the one who is the foundation. He's the foundation of this kingdom. He said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So if he speak it out, then he reveal it to you. You can understand what he's saying. When he reveals it, that's a supernatural act that has manifested in your life. Now I see in my spirit what God is saying exactly to me. He said that seeing you might see and not perceive, and hearing they might hear and not understand, at least any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And so he said, know ye not this parable. He was talking about those four parables. He was talking about, and how then will you know all parables? And he said, the sower sowed the word. Again, the word of God is so important, in because this is our manual which God has given us to operate in the kingdom through. And unless we go in the manual, and we'll never know how to operate in the kingdom. Just because we know scriptures does not mean we know how to operate in them. And so he said, so or so the word. And then what I want you to see is this verse 26 in Mark 4 and 26. He says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The word of God becomes the seed. He sows the word. Seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. See, now this is one of the revelations that our apostle is ministering to us right now. He knoweth not how. He said he's going to make millionaires. God has called him to make millionaires. And one of the things is he said, you knoweth not how. And that means that how God do what he do, we knoweth not how he's going to do it. But the fact is, all we have to do is know that he's going to do it. And so in our place is to receive that which he said. The word hath gone forth. We don't allow the enemy, like this parable tell us, we allow the enemy to come in and steal it. Even if it was sown in our hearts, we allow the enemy to come in and steal that word out of our heart that has been sown in our hearts. He said, you know, the cares of this world come in and choke the word out. He said, but, you know, that one person who received the word, he said, brought forth fruit. He said, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And so we who will hear the word of God from the man of God and receive it, and then we begin to bring forth fruit. It begin to manifest in our lives. The word has been spoken. So if the word has been spoken and it came from heaven through the man of God, it's to me, it was just like God speaking to me. And so if he said it, I know God's word ain't gonna return him a void, but it's gonna prosper in that which he sent it forth to do. And so then it's gonna, you know, I don't have to know how. All I have to know is it is. It's going to happen because that's what God said. So that's, you know, that's what he said. He said, and ye know it not how. He said, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow. He know it not how. Even in the natural, when we take a seed and we plant it in the ground, that seed, if everybody, you know, anybody who've ever been on a farm or watched seed, apple seed, whether it's whatever type of seed it is, they put it in the ground. And the process is that those seeds go through. Nobody actually knows where to go. But eventually, if they put it there, the outer husk comes off, and then whatever that seed was designed to do, it begins to come up out of the ground, and you begin to see it. So he's saying here, he said, for the earth bring forth fruit of herself. He said, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And to me, that was one of the first revelations that the Spirit of God revealed to me about the things of God. I saw people that were so excited about the things of God. They hear the word of God and they scream and they holler and they get excited. And so, you know, and so I went to the Holy Spirit and I asked him, I went to God and I said, you know, why it is that these people get so excited about the things of God? I said, I'm saved. I've confessed to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I speak in other tongues, but they get excited. And when I hear the word, it's just become dull. You know, it's not as exciting to me as I see some of these people, the word of God. And I was sitting under the word, just like these people were. And then he, I just kept, urging on. I just kept asking. And then finally he gave me this passage of scripture here. He said, He said, this is where the kingdom of God, he said, it becomes a process. It don't happen, you know, because we want it to happen. We think it's going to happen right now because he said it, but it becomes a process. We have to go through a process. The Apostle Paul had to go through a process. It took him 14 years until he got the full revelation of what Jesus had revealed to him. Even Jesus himself had to go through the process. Jesus went out and they was astonished at his ministry and the questions that he was answering when he was talking to those physicians and those doctors. But he had to go back at the age of 12. But he had to go back and sit under his parents for 18 years so that they go through the process. We who are in the kingdom, just because we come in and we learn a few scriptures, we have not arrived. We have to go through the process. He said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He said, then when the fruit is come, you put in the sickle. Now it's time for manifestation. Now it's time for harvest. It's now time for those supernatural manifestations to come in your life. And it do works. The word of God do works. And you know, by way of testimony, I've been sitting under this ministry some 18, 19 years. And hearing the word of God, hearing about money coming to the body of Christ. And again, you know, I know it is a process, and so I'm sitting under this apostolic anointing. The man of God tells us that, you know, he's debt free. If he's debt free, I'm sitting under that anointing. I should be debt free also. He said if he jetted out of once the jet was out of debt, then we also should be out of debt. We should jet out of debt also. And so the Spirit of God laid on my heart, you know, the man of God said, he said, tell God that the apostle said this. And so I began to talk to God about some situations in my life, and about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was able to go out and purchase a home, about $500,000. And I was able to go out and pay cash money for that. I've give glory to God for that. That's, you know, it's, you know, I'm sitting under this anointing, and it should be part of, you know, it should be imparted to me. I should not be sitting this close to this anointing and doing, you know, being faithful to what God is calling me to do, and then not allowed to operate in my life. And it was, believe me, it was all God. Every phase of it was all God. From the moment I decided that I was going to do this, from the day I decided, it took me from opening to close. It took me 13 days to find a house, get the paperwork done, and move into the house. And it's my wife's dream house. She wanted it, but God did it for me. And so the word of God do it. And like I say, it is a process. You know, sometimes we get a little despondent, but God says, just keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing. And eventually, you know, God said, he said, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And so, you know, just like my man of God, the apostle that I'm sitting under, he's debt free. His house is paid for. I'm debt free. My house is paid for. And I continue to work. I give glory, all the glory to God. That's, you know. And so the word of God do work. Amen. And so I just like to say, and so if you're under an apostolic ministry, I mean, these are signs and these are wonders that manifest in your life. And they work. The kingdom of God works. The word of God works. And just because it don't work on my timing, it's always on God's timing. He's never late. He's always on time. But it's been a pleasure teaching y'all this class this semester. You know, y'all been open. Y'all been very receptive. Otherwise, I would not have been able to come out of my spirit with some of the stuff I've been able to give to you. And so thank y'all very much. And, you know, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing, keep pressing. Amen. Amen. Amen.